I've done several shows where I've expressed my concerns about the vulnerability of US forces, and in particular, the vulnerability of US aircraft carriers. They are old technology. They're great for projecting your power, bringing your fleet of some 60 or more airplanes, fighter planes, to a small country, a weak country, and beating up on it, a weak country. The problem that has happened is the same problem that's happened throughout history. So when the car came along, the any or the internal combustion motor came along, and the mechanized vehicle came along. Well, if you were going up against it with the old infantry or cavalry, horse, a man on a horse, you lost. Technology had no. It didn't matter how good your skills, your cavalry skills are. It didn't matter how well you rode that horse. When you went up against the new technology of a mechanized vehicle, you lost. Right? So you, when you had a slingshot, and you went up against a bow and arrow, you would lose there too. And when you went up with your bow and arrow against a Gatling gun, machine gun, you lost every time, every time. Okay. So, the United States has invested in a fleet. I think there's 13 of them. Some of them these giant Nimitz class aircraft carriers. There are some $13 to $25 billion each, but they are much, much more than that. There's always these cost overruns, and many of them were built back in a time where it was a lot cheaper. Nowadays, to build a Nimitz class, or I think this bigger ones now, so much more money, especially in the last 3 years, with the vast increases in the costs of everything, metal, copper, everything. And there's a lot that goes into these boats, a lot of steel. And that's not even to talk about the cost of the stealth fighters that are on top of them, and the F-38s and whatever there is on there. There's all this kind of F-35s and the Raptors and all the Hawkeyes and the whole fleet of planes, and this 5 to 6,000 men that make that work. Israel is our enemy, let's face it, and nobody likes them. Nobody likes Israel. The only people that likes Israel are television watchers, right? Well, you say, well, that's a lot of people, and we'll go into that dynamic soon. But the main supporters of Israel are those who get money from Israel. So you have to be paid, really, to like Israel, or you have to be bribed or blackmailed to like Israel, because there's nothing inherently good about this nation. It's a violent, misogynistic, sort of sexist, racist, xenophobic, supremacist. I can't think of any more. It's apartheid. I mean, it's the world's most vile, repulsive nation. It is completely lawless. They run the child sex networks. They run the child organ harvesting, illegal organ harvesting networks. They run it. Jews run the banking system throughout the world. They run now the medical system. You have to throw scare quotes up because it's not a medical system, it's a genocide system. They run and own the media. which is just a machinery of lies. It's a lie machine. And now Netanyahu is in trouble. He's never been less popular, and Netanyahu cares most about Netanyahu. He doesn't care about Israel as much as he cares about Netanyahu. He certainly doesn't care about the United States in the slightest. The United States has always been just a tool, and there was a famous quote that has been attributed to him, where he basically said as much that where they're going to suck the blood out of us. I don't know. I remember the quote. Somebody could post it. Milikowski's quote when he was in a bar, and he basically said that we control them and they do what we say, and then we'll dispose of them when we're done. And this is the attitude of the Jewish power towards the host. This is the attitude of the Jewish parasite to this host. And the way you have to think of the United States is a big, the way I like to describe it, is a big dumb robot with no brain, a big empty head. And inside that empty head of this big giant robot is a little Jew. And little Jew's got his hands on the controls and this levers and buttons that the little Jew is pressing. And most of those buttons say punch. And the big robot goes around nation to nation, punching, 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 punching everybody. The big robot. The big robot is the United States, and the little Jew is Israel and the Jewish controlled banking system, who bribes and blackmails, pays off, and threatens and intimidates all of the world's leaders, certainly all of the American leaders. There might be one or two that resist the threats, intimidations, bribes, and blackmails from the Jews. But most of them are caught in the grip of this Jewish control of our nation. So this little homunculus, this little creature, this little Jew that's inside the head of this big robot, this big dumb robot, is going around telling the robot, is pressing the button, punch button, punch button, punch, punch this person, and then the big robot goes boom, and then he goes punch this button, boom, and he goes around. Okay. Well, the world has had enough of the big dumb robot, right? And the world is going to be punching back. Now, the little homunculus, this little Jew that's inside the head, hides in there, right? Even though we all know that it's this little rat that's wagging the dog, it's like wag the dog, It's not the dog, United States, wagging the tail, Israel. No, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. This little homunculus, this little creature, this little rat inside the head of this giant creature, this giant robot that's going around punching everybody, is hiding in there. And everybody's afraid to say, hey, it's this little Jewish rat that's in there that's doing all this punching. And the United States is just this big dummy, doesn't know, doesn't have a brain, doesn't have a mind. It used to. There was a period of time when the United States was a dignified nation. It was a new nation. It wasn't in control of under the control of this repulsive, vile Israel or the Jewish bankers. They had always tried to get control, and they got total control in 1913. But they had some previous iterations. There was a first central bank, which was Jewish, and that was in the I guess it was the maybe 1790, maybe something like that, or some no. Oh my God. The first national bank. I'll have to look at the dates. And then the first national bank was prior to maybe it was 1815, something like this. And Andrew Jackson, the great president, had based his campaign on eliminating this bank. Actually, it was the se I'm sorry. Oh my God. That was the second National Bank. The first National Bank was, I think, 1790s or something like that. And it didn't last that long. And then the second National Bank, also Jewish, was 1815, sometime around there. And then Andrew Jackson made sure that it expired sometime in around 1830. And that was where he put the nail in the coffin of that bank. And then we didn't see a national bank until the third one, which was the Federal Reserve. Okay. So I could be off a little bit on those dates. I apologize. I haven't slept in a long time, so I'm getting a little bit tired. I've been working all day, packing, loading, doing some packing up. And so this big robot has angered the entire world because it's caused a lot of human suffering, killed a lot of people, made a lot of orphans, abused the world, right? All at the command of this little Jewish creature that's in the head of this big, empty-headed, violent, strong robot, right? Well, the world has had enough. The world is uniting against us, right? And we're still able to order around a few nations called Europe, right? And Australia and New Zealand and Great Britain. Well, but not really Great Britain, because Great Britain is where the little Jew has his main office there in the city of London. All right. But the world is going to be punching the big robot back soon. And the little Jew that's inside the head of the big monster, the big ugly robot, the big violent guy going around, big robot going around punching everybody, the little Jew is going to jump out of the head and avoid all the trauma that's going to occur when the world starts punching the big ugly, dumb, stupid, empty-headed robot back. Little Jew's gonna scatter like they all like a cockroach when you turn the lights on. That's the Jew, like a little cockroach, right? Well, you see, the world doesn't respect a big, dumb, empty-headed robot that is able to be manipulated by a little teeny homunculus inside there, who took control of that robot through elaborate schemes of child sexual entrapment, blackmail networks, just bribery payoffs if you weren't into the kiddies, and then just fear and intimidation and the Judeo-Christian the common Judeo-Christian heritage, which was popularized by Jack Kemp, who was the sort of the main guy behind Ronald Reagan's sort of Jewish controlled administration there. That was the first time we saw this these inroads of these Jews. But it wasn't a total grip like it was under Bush too. So it was Reagan had his a group of Christian Zionists, and then, but it wasn't a total control. Reagan still actually did some stuff for this nation. He actually, even though, prior generations of liberals, like myself, didn't like Reagan at the time, because there was just too many wars. But in retrospect, if you compare him to subsequent presidents, Bush and Clinton and Barack Obama, and then and now Biden. Well, he was actually a guy who had the best interests of the country in mind, even though he made mistakes, even though he was manipulated into a few violent wars down in Latin America. Nevertheless, you didn't get the idea that, that he was out to fill his pockets. He had enough of his own money. He was, I think, a patriotic guy in the end. I think he wanted to do best. There was a little bit too much war for my taste, but compared to the war, subsequent wars and subsequent presidents, it was nothing in comparison. And then you look at this Biden, and if you know about Harry Vox's history, you'll know that I was a massive antagonist against George Bush Jr. I hated his guts, and I spent a lot of my energy for years and years and years going after this guy and his family. I didn't like these people at all. Way more energetic resistance and protests and activism against the Bushes. I hated their guts. Okay. Compared to Joe Biden, who is absolutely the most abjectly vacant, corrupt piece of shit I have ever seen in my entire career in examining these rats called presidents, George Bush Jr. was a better choice than this total filthy little Jew instrument of little Jew rat, Biden, instrument, tool of Jewish power, corrupt to the core. I never would imagine, no, never would have imagined that I would say something like that. But here's the thing: as we see nation after nation peeling off from the control through fear of this big dumb giant going around punching everyone. We see Saudi Arabia jumping over to the Belt and Road and the BRICS currency and the Shanghai Cooperation Agreement. We see Iran joining up with the BRICS, the Chinese central bank currency, the new currency, the Russian Chinese currency. For anybody who doesn't know what BRICS is, you've had your head in your hole. You need to wake up, because certainly the Jew media is not going to tell you what the BRICS are. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And they have gone together and they're making a currency. And it's going to be a currency backed by commodities such as gold, silver, whatever, steel. Energy, I imagine, will be go into this what they call a basket of commodities, and that will be a currency that is actually backed by something rather than a currency like the dollar, which is backed by bullshit. It's backed by Jewish bullshit, Jewish violence, coercion, lies. That's what the US dollar is backed. In other words, it's not backed by anything but a bunch of bullshit, right? Fiat, literally meaning because I proclaim it, because I say so. That's fiat currency. I for one will be happy to see the death of fiat currency, because when you have currency that's not backed by anything, well, you just have a bunch of Jews. They just print it up and give it to themselves. They can make war, steal it. Right now, the Jews are printing up so much money, so many dollars, just taking paper and ink. They're giving that money to themselves, and they're buying real assets with that money, like land and gold and silver, houses, businesses, machinery, factories. The Jews are buying it all. They're printing up. They're taking the ink. I call the US dollar Jewish alchemy, yeah? Where you just take you take some paper, right? And you take some ink and you mix it together. And then you take that Jewish paper, right? And you don't want to hold on to that Jewish paper that long. That's not worth shit. It's just paper, it's not backed by anything. So what the Jews do is they take the paper. They give it to themselves. We have to pay that back. They do it in the form of like a they print up these things called bonds, federal treasury bonds, And then they print up paper and ink, and they make paper money. They buy the bonds to so that the paper, Jewish paper, goes into circulation. They give that paper to themselves, and they quickly get out of that paper. They quickly buy up assets, real things, right? Because you don't want paper, you want real stuff. So they buy real houses, real estate, commercial real estate, land, like I say, machinery, factory goods, and some of them buy yachts and fancy cars. That's how fiat currency works. And then they use it to get us into wars for Israel. Because basically all of our wars now are really about Israel. Ukrainian war is about it's a Jewish war. And obviously this coming war in the Middle East, in Israel, is a war for Jewish power. All of our wars right now are to increase the power of the Jewish finance cartels, the Jewish banking cartels, and is the state of Israel. And it's they do so by giving us a lot of lip service that says, oh no, don't you know? This war that we're getting into is for America, to make America strong. Well, nobody believes that. It's all based on lies. Now, the entire conflict over there in Ukraine, let's take a look at that one, is based on lies. So we're fighting the lies, our own lies. We're saying that, oh, don't you know? Russia invaded Ukraine completely unprovoked. And of course, if you're a TV watcher, a stupid person, then and you don't have any memory and you're not paying attention because you know it might cut into your quality time. But if you can read and if you can do a basic search, you'll find out that the US has pumped billions of dollars over to these neo-Nazi groups. They're not really neo-Nazis. They're just neo-Nazi in name only. But they've never attacked a Jew. So that's not very much of a neo-Nazi. Ukrainian neo-Nazis go around with swastikas and might even sometimes Heil Hitler, but they work for Jews and they've never had any violence. There's no, last 15 years, there's been no incidents of violence against Jews in Ukraine, almost nothing. If there's one or two, I'm not able to find it. If somebody could find any incident of these evil Nazis where they've attacked a Jew, well, please put it in the comment section. But because I certainly haven't been able to find one single incident. They sure do go around and beat up gypsies and gay people, and you know. But curiously enough, these Nazis seem to be a pretty friendly or afraid, but they don't attack Jews. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of Nazis these days that don't attack Jews. They only attack in case of the fucking asshole Nazis in the United States. They're going mostly after black people. They like to say the nigger this, nigger that. Okay, but they don't actually do anything against Jews except maybe some lip service. But it's okay. So we're lying and we're saying that we have to stop Putin's expansion, because if he takes over Ukraine, he's going to move on and take over Europe. So we're fighting. Have expended well over 100 billion, probably more like 200-300 billion over there. They say 100 and 120 billion. No. That it's a lot money launder. It's a money laundering scheme. They've laundered more than that. So the war is not about stopping Putin from continuing his desire to take over Europe. That's no credible geostrategic analyst is saying this. The Jewish financed ones are in the Washington think tanks, but they're not credible because they're financed by Jew money. So if it's Jew that's paying for the study, well, yeah, sure, they're going to say whatever the Jew wants them to say. And the Jew is a liar. That's how you know you don't want to pay attention to anything that's any news organization that's Jewish, because it's going to be pure lies, right? That's how it works. If it's Jewish, if it's a Jewish senior editor or a Jewish editor or a Jewish writer, or it's owned by Jews, or it's financed by Jews, or if it, the president is a Jew, or the general manager is Jew, it's pure lies. That's the rule of thumb. They may, if they do the weather report, and it's raining that day, and they say, well, it's raining, okay, they might tell the truth about that. But if it's about a big geostrategic international war, and Israel's involved, and Jewish money's at stake, whatever the Jew tells you, it's going to be more likely to be closer to the exact opposite of what they're saying than what they're saying. Let me repeat that. You take what the Jew says, whether it's the Jews at CNN or the Jewish-owned MSNBC or the Jewish CBS, total Jew, deep state Jew stuff. You take what they're saying, right? And then you take the exact opposite, and it will be easy to demonstrably prove that the thing is closer to the exact opposite of what they're saying than it is to the what they're saying. We could test it. We could test it sometime, you know. So when they say this person's a terrorist, you know, it's a freedom fighter, and if this person's a freedom fighter, then it's a terrorist. And that's pretty easy to see if you take a little bit of time and you don't spend too much time in Jew world, paying attention and believing what you're told about the world by Jew TV, because then you're not going to know anything about how the world works. If it's Jewish, it's a lie, basically. Well. The world is getting sick and tired of this giant, dumb, empty-headed, violent robot that goes around punching everyone, and they're going to be punching back. But here's the thing that you have to remember. The Jew bails out when the violence is going to come to America, so we're going to get the pushback. We're going to get the punch back, the hit back. We're going to get kicked around now. And all the nations that the big, dumb giant punched, nobody ever respects the big dummy that does the punching, the big dumb robot, because there's nothing to respect there. Remember, it's empty-headed, right? So the Ted Cruz's of the world, or the, you know, Marco Rubio's, or the Mitt Romney's of, you know, all these senators and congressmen, or the Nancy Pelosi's and the new Speaker of the House, dummy tools of that little homunculus, that little creature, little Jew that's inside the head of the robot that's telling everybody to go punch him. They're just tools. They're just like also just instruments of this little teeny Jew that's inside telling all these senators to go around punching everyone. That's all they are. They're doing what the Jew tells them to do. So nobody respects that kind of entity, right? And they all know it's the Jews that run it. China is famous for having bookstores full of Jewish sections. And the Chinese say, well, we like the Jews because we can see how easy this small minority of people can completely, totally dominate and control this giant nation called the United States. We see it. Everybody sees it. Anyone with a brain cell knows that the United States is controlled by Jews. Media is controlled by Jews. Like I said, medical is controlled by Jews. The banking system controlled by Jews. They run the tables. Our war policy is controlled by Jews. Every single plan and policy and department and, you know, anything of any significance is Jewish in this country. It's controlled. And they didn't control it because they were really skilled. Like the Jordan Petersons of the world will tell you, oh yes, they're more intelligent than us. No, they're not. They're stupid. They're just really good at bribing and blackmailing people. That's how the Jews ended up doing it. Because here's the test to this asshole Jew ball licker named Jordan Peterson. Here's the test, Jordan Peterson. He calls himself a philosopher. He's not a philosopher. He's a piece of shit. But here's one for Jordan Peterson. Name a famous Jewish philosopher in history? None. Zero. So if they're so smart, if they are the world's smartest people, how come there's no such thing in human history as a major fundamental philosopher who is Jewish? Now, the Jews have spent a lot of money because they knew that they had a crisis on their hands with that one. They're like, oh, shit. You know, because, you know, when, in philosophy, in like great philosophy, you either have it or you don't. And you can't go back in history and change it. And so we know all the names, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, you know, John Locke, you know, whatever, Immanuel Kant, right? David Hume, right? People like Robert Boyle. I liked him. He was a good one. There's been some, you know, great Descartes, René Descartes. Okay. But there's no Jews. And so the Jews are like, shit, that's not looking good. Because we're going around telling everybody that we're the smartest people in the world, but we don't even have a great philosopher of any value. So let's take this mediocre douchebag called Spinoza. Baruch Spinoza. Spinoza. Right? From Holland. Amsterdam. Dutch. Sound like Spanish, right? But Dutch. Spinoza, they say, was our great philosopher. And they spent, oh my God, millions of dollars to try to convince academia and create all kinds of articles about how great Spinoza is, right? Spinoza is pure crap. It's not philosophy. It's theology. I've said this. I hate it. It's nonsense. It's talking about God. That's it. That's not philosophy. That's theology. God is in everything. I know. Not very interesting stuff. Certainly no match for John Locke. His essay concerning human understanding, two books about that, fat each book, was fundamental in my opening my mind to the understanding of philosophy of how the human mind works. It's otherwise known as empiricist philosophy. This was John Locke. Leibniz also did some of this in Germany, but it was John Locke who had really nailed down how the empirical mind works, how the sensual, sensory mind works. When I say sensual, I don't mean sexual. I mean our sensory sensory perception, how it fills up the blank slate inside our heads and we become what we are. Great book. Essay Concerning Human Understanding. David Hume did a book with almost the same name. I think it was just called I think it might be all the same name, Essay Concerning Human Understanding also, or Essay on Human Understanding, a slight variation. Another very good book, Bishop Berkeley, His Idealism, is a very good book. A lot of thought exercises in that one. The German idealism there. But nobody respects the big dummy, the big empty-headed robot that goes around violently punching everyone, because there's nothing to respect there, because it is an empty head. Victoria Nuland is an empty head. Jake Sullivan, empty head. The people that are in the Jewish-controlled State Department, Anthony Blinken is not a statesman. Our Secretary of State is just this Jew who is a con artist. They're a bunch of con artists. They don't know. They don't have any real geostrategic depth. They're out of their league when you have to go up against some of the world's leaders who actually have their own country's best interest in mind. Neocons here in State Department in Washington, these Victoria Nulands and the Secretary of State Blinken and the Jake Sullivan National Security Council, they have two jobs to do. One, to fake us out and give the impression, to trick and make it look like they're doing actions that are beneficial to the United States of America, whatever that is, because we don't even know what it is anymore. right? Because it doesn't bear any resemblance to what it used to be. It's been taken over by a handful of the neocons, Jewish neocons. So they have these Jewish neocons, they have two jobs. So this is why they're kind of they're fucking up, because the one job is they have to make it look like, have to trick everybody down the line, the people in the military, the people in the intelligence stuff. They have to run this narrative that what they're doing is in the best interest of the United States. So that's this narrative, that's the public-facing narrative, and also that's the narrative that faces the intelligence agencies and the military and the American people. So that's the public-facing narrative. But you see, they're running another narrative, a meta-narrative, a pseudo-narrative, a hidden narrative. What is that? Well, it's not a narrative. It's an agenda. It's a plan. It's a scheme, and that is strengthening and transferring the assets and power away from the American Empire and to the Jewish banking cartels and the State of Israel and the Jewish, just the infrastructure of Jewish power. So it's about transferring the vitality and strength of this once great nation over to their benefactors, all of which are Jewish. So all of the think tanks that have any significance whatsoever in Washington, D.C., and who are the avenue of the doling out of privilege and money to the political class, that's done through like the think tanks and the foundations, those are all Jewish. So there's no such thing as a think tank that's in the United States that has any significance whatsoever. That's like Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu. No. A Jew is Jewish, right? Jew money in particular. Now, again, I have to just remind you, no one gives a shit about Judaism or the Jews in general. No one cares. But since that's where the money is, well, the Mitt Romneys of the world, Marco Rubios of the world, the gay, the closet homosexual Lindsey Graham probably got caught in a Jewish pedophilic child sex entrapment scheme, only with a 10-year-old boy, not a 10-year-old girl, like the other ones get caught in. So mo a lot of them, most of the child sex networks that the Jews entrap the political class in are using underage girls. But I think the one that Lindsey Graham got caught in, I think it's probably a little boy because he's homosexual. And that's why he's wants to have war all the time, because they're telling him, you say that you want war all the time, or we're gonna let the cat out of the bag, or let the little boy out of the bag. That's how they were able to get a lot of our political class, because they're such low class people. Okay. Back to the big dumb robot with the little homunculus, with the little Jew inside that empty head. Here's the problem. As the Jew jumps out of the head of the big dumb giant, when people start punching back at the big dumb giant, which is us, right? Not, it's not really us. I mean, you and I didn't go around punching anyone, but we're gonna get punched back. We're going to take the hit, right? All these countries, like Saudi Arabia and the Arab Emirates and even France and Germany eventually, but the African countries and Latin America, certainly China and Russia, and they're all getting away from the United States because it's a very ugly, ugly, big, dumb, empty-headed giant. It's very ugly, very ugly, 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 ugly. But even though they know that it wasn't really the big dumb giant that was punching, it was the little Jew inside. Just like, remember I told you the Chinese respect the Jew because specifically for that reason, because they're able to go around punching everyone. Okay. So these nations like China, which is basically a thuggish nation, don't listen to anybody try to tell you that that's a good system. It certainly is not. Anytime you see thousands of party party at a party congress, and there is absolutely no dissent, and there is everybody just claps in uniformity at the same time. They go, yes, our leader, Xi, you know. That's really, really scary. That's not the kind of system that you want. That's called totalitarianism. So you don't we don't like that. And most other systems we don't really like either. That's probably one of the worst ones outside of how bad the United States is. But even though they know that it's this little Jew that jumped out of the head just before they're gonna punch that big robot, right? They still will at least respect that little Jew, you see? Because, like the Chinese, they know it's a little rat in there controlling that big giant, but they at least respect it because you respect someone who's good enough to get in there, whether it was through blackmail or bribery, which is how they did it. And they didn't do it through skill. Remember, they're not intelligent because they have no, remember, no philosophers in history. If they were so great, where's your philosopher? Well, we'll talk about that because I think they're gonna make up some fake manuscripts and say, oh, look at we, because the Jews are doing this like with archaeology. Oh, we discovered these scrolls and look, we're reading it out. And whoa, there was this great philosopher who nobody knew about it, Jewish. And he was talking about the empirical mind a long time before John Locke. You know, they'll steal something. They'll steal like John Locke's work or Immanuel Kant's great thesis that could be found in Critique of Pure Reason, for example. They'll just steal all that stuff and they'll write it in a ancient and put it in a scroll, and they'll make sure that they figure out a way to use papyrus that they have had that is can withstand carbon dating of maybe they'll get some blank papyrus that they found in a tomb, and then they'll find some kind of way to forge proof that there was a great Jewish philosopher. But as of now, the Jews don't have one. That sucks. That sucks. Because if you're going to be one of the world's greatest minds, the smartest people in the world, like that piece of shit Jordan Peterson says, you at least have to have a great philosopher. And Jews, But they're good with money. They have the money. That's what they're good at. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're really good with the money. They're way better than us because they've been doing it longer than we have, though. So they have had an unfair start. But all the nations in the world, unless we all get together and prevent this Jewish rat from continuing its violence, its lies, its just hatred of the world. It's the most hatred-filled people. These are the most vile and violent and supremacist son of a bitches of the world. Unless the world gets together and stops them once and for all, they will do business with the Jew. You see, because the Jew has the nuclear bomb. The Jew has a lot of airplanes and bombs and bullets. And the Jew will use them. And the Jew will drag the United States to continue its punching spree. There's no limit. The Jew will tell that big dumb robot to keep punching and punching till there's no more nothing left in its energy to punch until it's all used up. And the big dumb robot called the United States of America will just keep on punching. As long as the Jew tells him to punch, he'll punch until the big robot falls apart and no longer can punch. That's what's happening to the big dumb robot right now. It's falling apart. The legs are breaking down. The fists are getting rusty. Running out of steam. Running out of the ability to punch. Right? Now it's so sad because all of my assets, my life, I've spent in this big dumb robot called the United States. It wasn't a big dumb robot when I was growing up. It is now, for sure. It's an instrument of Jewish wishes. So whatever the Jew wants, that's what we do. So I don't really like that. But I don't want to have to say, gee, I hope like the Russians or the Chinese kick our fucking asses in. I don't want to be like that either, because I'll get my ass kicked by them. And I don't particularly want to see China kick our fucking ass, right? Because I don't like the Chinese either. And even though I think Russia is a cleaner system, the people are smarter, and they're more pure, and there's more dignity of the people in Russia. They're not just these stupid, fat, dumb people like we have here, mostly in the United States. Not everyone, there's obviously there's some exceptions, but most, for the most part, America is just fat and stupid, Americans. And that's just empirically so. The IQ is, so don't say, Harry's against America. No, Harry can read. And if you read, you can see we're like one of the most obese nations, and our IQ is plummeting. So I'm just reading the statistics, and the statistics are not looking good. And because we're being purposely dumbed down. But you know, all these rats out there, all these nations that are essentially nasty little rats, like Saudi Arabia, China, and a lot of them, I'm not going to start naming names too much on that one, but they will, even after they cease and desist in doing business with the United States, and even as they begin a new trend on punching back at the big dumb United States, they will do business with the Jew, because the Jew has the money, you see? So the Jew's able to use us up, and then just discard us. And so it becomes incumbent on every American to understand that now is the time to strengthen yourself. You have a personal responsibility to learn how the world works. Be smart. Be dignified. Conduct your affairs in the utmost of upstanding intelligence. Look good. Be healthy. Learn new skills. Utilize the skills that you already have. Integrate more skills. Acquire tools, whether those tools are physical tools, whether those tools are whatever, woodworking tools, carpentry tools, CNC machine, digital 3D printers, computer systems, whatever tools you decide to use. Some of those tools could be, they could be artistic in nature, right? But now is the time to make yourself better than you were, to lift yourself up and that of your family through hard work, increased knowledge, study hard, learn more things, and maybe, just maybe, we might or you might be able to survive. Make your life better. Be more dignified. Look better. Be smarter. Have more successes in your personal life. Have more successes in your business or your trade or your craft. Learn how to work with your hands. Learn how to speak better. Learn how to conduct yourself with more dignity. Now's the time. Now's not the time to be an idiot and make a joke out of your life, because you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. Only the strong are going to survive this next couple of years. All the clowns are going to get wiped out of the way. There's going to be a cleansing. There's going to be a culling of the population. They already started. The people who were so dull in their mind that they were not able to see that the obvious, what was right in front of their eyes, that the scamdemic, the plandemic, the vaccines was a crime against humanity, and it was a very dangerous thing to participate. And so those people who participated in that, they're sweating. They have plaque buildup in their veins from the spike proteins that their own bodies are manufacturing, and all those proteins getting stuck on the insides of the veins, clotting them up. They're going to have chronic fatigue syndrome, heart attack, stroke, all kinds of chronic diseases, and that's part of the plan. And those people, I'm afraid, failed the Darwinian challenge. But for those who take life seriously now and work hard and, like I said, learn new things, read books, learn a new skill today, now, tomorrow, right now. Decide, what am I going to do? What am I going to learn? What do I want to be that's better than what I am right now? This is the only way out for you personally, and it's the only way out for the nation as a whole. America's very, very, very weak. And the world is going to do business with these Jewish rats who have sabotaged our nation, dumbed our people down, dumbed us down with all this fake, well, all this fake activism, fake Nazis, all this fake shit. No. No, you have to personally show what are you? What have you done? What can you do? What did you learn now? How did you make your life better today and tomorrow and the next day after that? How can you prove and show that you've done an increase in your life? How can you do this? So let's get back to this concern of mine. Right now, the Jewish narrative is this bullshit Jew narrative is collapsing. We see there was a poll that said that it was a Marist poll, right? Let's see if I can find it here. And it said that the older that you are, the more you support the Jews killing innocent people in Israel, the Hamas war. What adults say the U.S. government should publicly do in regards to the Hamas war, generation by generation. And this was a NPR PBS NewsHour Marist national poll. Marist is by this guy. I think the guy there is Jewish. So the guy who's founded it there, his last name is, I don't remember it, it ends in a OFF, Milikov or something. I don't even know what it is. It's not important. I think it's a Jewish name. So you got to be careful with polls that are done by Jews because it's going to be a lie. Remember I said, if it's Jewish, it's a lie. But they can't hold back the lie. But here's what they say, that the oldest generation, born from 1901 to 1945, that they 86% of them support Israel, and 13 say do nothing. This is in regard to the Israeli-Hamas war. It's not really a war; it's a genocide. It's a slaughter. You can't really call that a war. The Hamas have slingshots, and Israel the Jews have atomic weaponry and fighter jets, and the Hamas the Palestinians don't even have electricity or water. It's not a war. Stop calling it a war, Jew boy. It's a genocide. You're picking off fish in a barrel. You're going after innocent kids. You're slaughtering innocent children. That's not a war. It's a genocide. So the poll goes, from those born in from 1901 to 1945, not many of them left. They're all dying. Actually, there are quite a few of those. That's called the silent generation or the greatest generation. 86% of them say, yes, go kill all those Palestinians because they're watching TV. The baby boomers, 1946 to 1964, 83%. So it's gone down a little bit. Instead of 86% of them say kill those Palestinians, Jew boy, 83 they say. Now remember, this is a poll that's we're getting from the deep state. NPR PBS is the CIA base of the State Department, right? What? PBS? I thought that was really good. That was the good stuff. PBS and NPR, their policies, their attitudes, their views are exactly the same as the U.S. State Department. It's an instrument of the U.S. government. Hello? Okay. So, but the Gen X now, which is 1965 to 1980, 63%. So we've gone from 83% supporting kill those Palestinians. Now it's only 63% says kill those Palestinians, Jewish. Okay, but then when you get to the millennial and Gen Z, 1981 to 2012 born in those years, that would be millennials and Gen Z, only 48% says the Jewish deep state poll. Okay, there's no way, there is no way in hell that 48% of millennial and Gen Z support the Israelis wiping out these poor children in Palestine. So this poll is bullshit. And this is, how do we know this? Because it's Jewish and a deep state. So, and when they said, oh no, the Marist poll is great. It's got a grade A from NBC News. Well, oh, who cares what NBC News says about it? NBC News gives it a grade A. All right, so a bunch of fucking liars say it's good. Okay. And we know, I remember I used to write about how fraudulent the polls were. 25 years ago, I wrote an article about how Gallup poll, George Gallup, I think that was the father's name. I think that the son's name as well. But the father, that was George Gallup, I think that's his name. And he invented that in the 1950s. And he even admitted that, in a time of war or of some really critical election or something, we would like lie and give fake poll results. That's Gallup poll, the most prestigious, or the largest at least, or most well-known or oldest political polling organization in the United States. The father just blew the lid off the whole thing and said that if the in time of war or vital political election, well, hell, those are the most important times when you want to know the truth. And he said, we just do what the CIA tells us to do. So, and I don't even think Gallup was a Jew. Gallup wasn't even a Jew. This guy Marist is a Jew. So, if they're admit having to say that 48% of these millennial and Gen Z say, go ahead and kill all those people, it's probably close to like 10%. Most millennial and Gen Z don't like this, don't care about the Jewish narratives. Nobody cares about this Jewish nonsense. They've had the fucking Holocaust shoved down their throat so many times, and they don't even believe it because it's so much sketchy stuff about that. They had to admit that they lied all these years about the soap and the lampshades. They said they tried to get, they got three generations of Americans saying, oh yeah, Germans made soap and lampshades out of Jewish bodies and skin. Yeah, except that they didn't. And they eventually admitted that when they tested the lampshades, it was cow hide. wasn't human. And then when they tested the soap, no, not human. And that's weird because you'd think that they would have been able to swap out the soap and actually make some soap out of, you know, some human fat subsequent years, but they had this bar of soap that was in a museum and they tested it and so they had to admit that that was bullshit. And so if that was bullshit, and those were the two major parts of that narrative, the Holocaust narrative, two of the most gripping aspects of that narrative was, oh, that scared the shit out of everybody is, oh my God, we're so guilty. Because you see, the story that, you know, we made lampshades out of the skin of Jews and soap out of the fat from their bodies. And of course, if the Germans actually did do that, which they didn't, but if they actually did do that, my God, that'd be pretty horrifying. That's enough to throw a lot of guilt on you. Well, if you ask most Germans now are not even aware that the Jews had to give up on that bullshit story. So most Jewish leading Holocaust experts have said, okay, that kind of sort of didn't happen. All right. Well, wait a second though. Are you saying you're revising the Holocaust, Jewish Jew? You mean major leading Jewish groups are actually Holocaust revisionists? Wait a second, hold on. We've been told for the last 40 years that anyone revising the official version, anyone doubting the official version of the Holocaust, is a reprehensible piece of shit and deserves to lose everything. Lose your friends, you lose your job, everything. If you question 1 ounce, one aspect of that story, you question any bit of it, you lose everything. But wait a second, though. These fucking Jews lied about it the whole time and they admitted it. Oh, so these leading Jewish groups that are the custodians of this story have admitted, and you don't take my word for it. Just check with the major Jew groups that keep that bullshit story alive. They had to give up on the lampshades and soap story. Okay, so they are officially, from this point on, Holocaust revisionists. See how this logic works? Now, if they're Holocaust revisionists, either they are the most reprehensible pieces of shit on this earth, like they're trying to tell us that we would be if we question any part of the story, or maybe there's other aspects of that story that, just like the soap, and just like the lampshades are just as full of shit as the soap and the lampshade stories, huh? What do you say? But we'll leave that to another show. So let's get back to the story about the aircraft carriers that, if one of them were to sink in the Mediterranean, that may just save the ass of Benjamin Netanyahu by getting us into World War III. Because right now, Israel would want nothing more than to get the United States and get the entire world into a world war. That would be the one thing that would save Israel. Now, I've said this for years and years and years. And there's been books written about it, so I'm not the only one saying it. There's a book called The Samson Option by Seymour Hersh, Cy Hersh. Great guy. He never went to the 9/11 story. He ridiculed the people, the concept that 9/11 was an inside job. So he got that wrong. But whatever. He's Jewish, but I like the guy. He's a pretty good guy. But I mean, you can't get that wrong. You can't get that one wrong, Cy. You gotta get that one right. It was an inside job's eye. It was the Israelis did it with their junior partner, the CIA. And contrary to this idea that they couldn't have pulled it off unless it was this vast infrastructure, and surely word would have gotten out. No. With the degree of compartmentalization, you only need a handful of people who know the full extent of the plan. Well, just like what we have in Washington today. Gates, the former CIA director, just said a few days ago that he's concerned because Washington right now is run by a handful of these neocons, like eight of them, I think he said, eight. There's eight people right now in Washington, and that control the fate of the world. It's in their hands. Right? Because the fate of the United States right now, if we go around, if this big robot goes around punching everyone and we start throwing nuclear bombs at stuff, that everyone, the fate of the world is in jeopardy. And the caliber, the low caliber, the mediocrity of these people that are the ones that are in control is so low, so bad that It's just like these other conditions that I'm describing. Very dangerous time right now. Very dangerous time. So the U.S. has moved the aircraft carrier, I think it was the Gerald Ford, Nimitz class carrier, largest aircraft carrier that we have, 5,000 to 6,000 men, 60 to as much as 80 or 90 planes, depending on how they load it for that mission. And I've been seeing too many signs that there's an attitude among some of the policy planners and some of these Jewish-controlled think tanks. There was an article that came out by the Center for Strategic Studies in International Studies, and it was, I forgot the guy's name, but in this article, he said that, if the United States got into a war with China, most likely we'd like lose two aircraft carriers. They'd sink two aircraft carriers, you know, because you have these things called these hypersonic missiles. Now, remember when I was talking about the bow and arrow versus the gun, or the car versus or the cavalry, the soldier on the horse versus the soldier in a tank, and how the tank won the day every time against the guy in the horse, because he pulls up the guy in the horse. What is he going to do against the tank? There's nothing. Okay. Well, this giant aircraft carrier goes up against what's called a hypersonic missile. This is a game changer now. So we have these 13 aircraft carriers. And you know, Russia, with its Kinzhal hypersonic missile, Mach 10, goes 2,000 kilometers into space. Trajectory. And then there's this aircraft carrier sitting somewhere in the sea, somewhere, and you can't hide an aircraft carrier. Hint, hint. Can't hide it. And they don't have like berths. They don't have like aircraft carrier like parking lots. You can't hide it. There's nothing. It's a sitting duck, right? So there's the aircraft carrier. This missile, 2,000 kilometers, way over there. Then it comes straight down at Mach 10. And there is no defense. So if the Jew convinces the big dumb robot to send its big dumb aircraft carrier, big slow aircraft carrier, and it parks it out there and starts shooting off, right? And starts pissing everybody off like that's what the Jew is telling us to do. Oh. Did you know that both China and Russia and possibly a few other nations, possibly, who knows? Maybe Iran has one or two or 12 or 10. Who knows? Certainly, they have Mach 3 versions of these anti-ship missiles. But the Mach 10 one, there's no defense. It will hit the target. So if Putin decides to knock out all 13 of our aircraft carriers, he could do it in 3 minutes. 3 minutes, no defense. And then the images of a US aircraft carrier burning with the hull going up as it goes down, like the Titanic. All that steel bubbling up. The psychological impact of seeing that in high definition, because certainly the Jews are going to have 4K, high def, ultra high def, 8K cameras all around, making sure they get multiple views of that aircraft carrier as it sinks, because the Jews set it up for sinking, because it's what they need right now to save their fucking ass, their violent ass. They need to sink an aircraft carrier to pull the world into World War III. Because if the world witnessed one aircraft carrier sinking, the psychological impact would be so grave that the Jew neocons that control Washington through their child sex entrapment blackmail scheme networks, that's how they got Biden. They invited him over to Ukraine. And they filmed him having sex with an underage girl after he left the vice presidency. So in those 4 years when he was when Trump was the president, Biden was entrapped in a Jewish child sex entrapment scheme. That's why Biden does and reads whatever script the Jews hand him. Biden doesn't have an idea. Biden doesn't come out with it. They wake him up and say, "Okay, Joe, you're gonna go out there, Joe. We're gonna clean the doo-doo out of your diapers today. And here's your script for the day. Here. You just say this. Whatever. Yeah, you just read that, Joe. That's what you're gonna say today. I express solidarity with Israel because they're our great friend. And I'm tough. I'm gonna be tough on them. Those Hamas, you know, and then the next day, "Okay, Joe, you did a good job. Clean the poo. Well, let's clean the poo-poo out of your pants, Joe," says the Jew who's running it, giving him the scripts. "We got another script for you. Here, here's one. Look at this one. Read this one today. Ukraine is our Ukraine policy is the bedrock of blah 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 blah. It doesn't matter." It's whatever the Jew wants him to say. So this message goes out to U.S. military and U.S. intelligence, not the heads of the U.S. military. Those people are instruments of this Jewish money power. So this does not go out to Austin, Lloyd Austin. This does not go out to the, well, it could go out to the head of the CIA. I'm still on the fence on about him. He might not be the worst of them. This goes out to not the head of this FBI. These people are scum of the earth. They've put in a new head of the chief of naval operations, a woman named Lisa Franchetti. So we're back to the diversity world of Joe Biden. What they've done, and I don't know enough about Miss Franchetti. She's got a big smile. traditionally, if you're going to be the head of naval operations, man, you better be something, you better have a better degree than a journalist degree. She's got a journalist degree. And now she's in control of our naval operations around the world. Now, she would have been better, I'm sure, if she was transgender, black, lesbian, whatever. But she's female, so that checks off the diversity checkbox for female. And that's what they're doing around the world. So all of the leaders of the banks, IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the Bank of International Settlements, at the International Monetary Fund, you have Kristalina Georgieva, a Bulgarian douchebag, brutto, who graduated from the Marxist school in Sofia, Bulgaria, University of Karl Marx. And now she's the head of the IMF. She studied environmental economy. So they're checking off check boxes. She was the woman that said, vaccine policy is economic policy. And she repeated it over and over again. This ugly, brutto, douchebag Bulgarian from Karl Marx University in Sofia, Bulgaria. I think it was Sofia, Bulgaria. Can't believe I remember all this stuff. All this crap that I have in my head. All these shitty people. All these placeholders for the world, for the Jew bankers. The Jew bankers are packing the leaders of the world with extremely mediocre and extremely compromised people because they don't want somebody with a strong tradition or a strong sense of what they're doing or a strong purpose or a strong command of themselves and those around them. No. Because such a person might say, hey, this policy you're telling me to enact, not going to happen. It's bullshit. They want like a Kristalina Georgieva. Vaccine policy is economic policy. Well, shut the fuck up, you Bulgarian piece of garbage. You're a central banker. Fuck off with your involvement in health policy. You're a douchebag. You deal with dollars, not with needles, you idiot. But we don't question anything anymore because there's not many Harry Voxes out there. So she gets away with going around the world. She must have said that line so many times at so many meetings, at so many public appearances. Vaccine policy is economic policy. We have to get everyone vaccinated. Type in Kristalina Georgieva, IMF chief. Vaccine policy is economic policy. And listen to this Bulgarian communist piece of Jewish tool say her lines. Then you got the fat 500 pounder named Augustin Karstens, who's in charge of the Bank of International Settlements, the Bank of Banks, another very compromised piece of garbage. He was from the Bank of Mexico, I think, or Bank of Argentina, I think Bank of Mexico. And he was the one who told us when you have a regular currency like a dollar, we don't know where you're spending the dollar. But when you have the central bank digital currency, we know what you're spending and we can control that, your expenditure of that. This fat fuck lets it out of the bag. Again, these people are just lucky. That Jew boy put them in there, so they're going to do what Jew boy tells them. They're not strong-minded, strong-willed people. You got the same down as the US FBI. You got the piece of shit named Christopher Wray. His nose is hooking more and more every day. That's the rhyme. Christopher Wray, nose is hooking more and more every day. Because if he ain't a Jew, and everybody's, I get so much intel coming in. They're saying, oh, yes, he's a Jew, his grandmother, and all this shit. And believe it or not, as much time as I spent on this crap, taking big shits on his dumbass head, they're saying, he's a Jew, he's a Jew, he's a Jew. I haven't, I don't even know. He's got a lot of that Jew money, $100 million from BlackRock, Blackstone, JP Morgan, you know. iShares, Goldman Sachs. You can see it right on his disclosure form they had to give to Congress in order to get confirmed. And he's the enemy. But he's not a substantive person. He's just a Yale boy. So that's a different kind of checkbox. It's not the diversity checkbox. It's the good old boy network checkbox. But he's a substandard human. You got Kamala Harris. You got Lloyd Austin. You got General Miley. I think he just resigned. You have that transgender guy who was head of nuclear, one of the nuclear agency divisions. Ended up stealing the women's luggage at the airport. Oops, that didn't work out well. Then you got the other transgender guy who's the Surgeon General. Levine. What a dud. Nothing. No vitality there. Just listen. Listen to him talk. Don't take my word for it. Listen to the way he expresses himself. Listen to the things he says and ask yourself, is that a person that inspires confidence? Is that a substantive person? Or is that just somebody who fulfills a checkbox? Transgender, good. Biden's going to put him in there. Well, Biden didn't pick him. The Jews tell Biden who to put in. Biden doesn't have an idea, remember? He's senile. He doesn't have an idea. But that's not because he's senile. It's because he's compromised. He's just terrified that they'll release the footage of him fucking the Ukrainian child. Sometime between 2016 and 2020, he was entrapped in a child sex video bribery operation run by Jews in Ukraine. That's why the President of the United States is doing what he's doing. Because you see, China has a lot more. I mean, the only reason you do anything when you're a politician in the United States, if it's not because you're being forced to, because you're being blackmailed, because they've got something on you, the only other reason you do anything is because you're receiving money. Well, the Chinese have the capability to have offered Biden a much sweeter deal than pretty much anybody because they do have more money. They're collecting all the gold now. So Biden would have gone with the money, which would have been China. But he's going with this Jew narrative. Well, he's only doing that because they got him on camera when he was making those multiple trips to Ukraine, which is famous as for being a source country for the child sexual exploitation networks run by Israelis. And it's not like you can't find this on the internet. It's getting harder and harder to find. That's why you have to use Yandex.com, Yandex.com, not Google.com. Google.com says, oh! Jews have never done anything wrong. They're the best people ever. I know. Google says it's the Palestinians that are causing their own trouble. Well, this is a warning to the United States military. The Jews are setting you up for another USS Liberty style false flag attack. It might not even be a false flag. They might just. There's so much activity there. Oh, I get tired. I'm working all day. Be careful. If an aircraft carrier goes down, your house is worth nothing. Godspeed.